I like going to church. Glad to be in church. I enjoy coming to the Beaver Falls Baptist Church. I really do. I get here often enough that you all look familiar, but not often enough that I remember anybody's name. And I'm sorry for that. I would like to do that. In fact, who did I say I met? I met Brother David at the door, and I said, "Hey, Brother Nathan, how are you?" And then I saw Brother Nathan. I said, "Wait a minute." So that's how it goes. But you all understand, and you have grace, and I appreciate it. I love coming to a church. It's so rare. I was thinking about as I was driving. It took about an hour to get here, and I was thinking about on my way here, what a refreshing thing it is to come to this church. This is an unusual church, and I think it's possible that many of you don't know what a treasure that you have here. I have been in a lot of churches. I've preached in a lot of churches, and you all have something here that is very, very special, and I hope that you appreciate it. I hope you understand. There's just a lot of things that are going to the wayside among Christian people that they're not. It's hard to tell a man from a woman anymore when you just walk around. And I love to come here and realize that you folks know the difference between a man and a woman. And you act like it. And I'm so glad to see that. It's really, I feel like I'm coming back to planet Earth when I come out here to Klatskanai. And I love it. I was thinking about the legacy there with Pastor Bond and this didn't happen overnight. They had to have a lot of babies for this to happen. Amen. So that was the one. But your reach, your outreach has now gone in so many places, and it really has. Let me ask you this. I want to talk to, we're going to be in 1 Peter today, 1 Peter 1, and I've got to be back in Astoria to preach, so I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to drive in the car. The boys are going to be running the song service, so Gabriel's going to be leading singing. Caleb's going to be doing the announcements. And they're going to be collecting the offering and doing all that. And I told them, I'm going to be coming in hot and ready to preach, right? You have everything going, and I might run in. So I'm going to say what I got to say here. I'm going to say it real quick, and then I'm going to drive over there. So that's the plan for me today. It's been a little bit of a busy day, but I'm honored to be invited to come here. I love this place. I wondered about this. I thought there's a lot of young kids, real young kids. So how many of you are listening, paying attention, because not every time do kids pay attention, but how many of you are here in church and you're 16 or younger? Would you raise your hand if you are 16? Okay. And that lets me know who's paying attention, because some of the kids here are like 3, and they're just still, you know, doing something different. So now I know how many of you are here, you're 16 and younger, and you're paying attention. Have you ever sung the song? How many of you, 16 and younger, and you know the song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. If you know that song, would you raise your hand if you know it? Okay. Then how about this? How many of you don't know that song, 12 men went to... Oh, this is going to be great. I was hoping you didn't know it. So I'm going to teach it to you. Is that okay? Is that all right? Now, everyone can stand if you want to, but if you're on medication, heart medication, if you have, you know, inflammation of the joints, other problems, or you just plain old don't want to, don't stand. But especially if you're 16... and younger, would you stand with me? And I'm going to teach you the song. And so you want to have nothing in your hands because you need your hands free just before the message. And by the way, this doesn't have anything to do with the message, but singing helps the heart. Now, so if you're, all right, so you're the ones that are in, and everyone will enjoy this, okay? So here's how it goes. First thing is you've got, and I'm going to go real slow, but you got to put your spy cap on, what I call a spy cap, because the spies, you know, went into Canaan and spied with me. And the spies were in there, and they were spying out the land. How many of you know that story? The spies that went into Canaan land to check it out. And there were 2 good spies. Remember? Who could tell me the 2 good spies?
Caleb.
Caleb and?
Joshua.
Joshua. So you know. All right, here's how the song goes, all right? And if you know it, go along with me. We're going to go slow. And it goes like this. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw clusters 10 feet long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Now, how many of you think you could do that? Can you do that with me? We'll do it again a little faster. You see what it is? 12 and 1 is 5, you know. 10. So let me help you with this part. Show me 10. 10 were bad and 2, bring your fingers up, 2 were good. Are you with me on that? Okay, let's do it again. And just sing along a little bit, but at least work out the motion and what it does is it'll get you ready for church. Okay, are you ready? 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good.
good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw clusters 10 feet long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good.
All right, some of you kept up. How many of you kept up? You were able to do the whole thing? Just kind of learn a little bit? Let's do it again. We'll do it a little faster, all right? Are you ready? Are you ready? Put your spy cap on. Here we go.
12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw clusters 10 feet long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good.
All right, great job. Have a seat. Y'all did really good. And if you want the words of that song, Google it. No, I don't know. Ask me and I'll give it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. You were not. Okay? You were not redeemed with these things. You were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not redeemed with silver. You were not redeemed with gold. You were not redeemed. You were not redeemed from your vain conversation. That word conversation, dealing with a lifestyle or your way that you live. The wives can win their husbands with their chaste conversation, with their lifestyle evangelism, if you will. Just simply living right speaks volumes in and of itself. But this was a vain conversation. This was a conversation that was a waste of time. It looked good, but it didn't do anything. You know anybody like that? I'm just kidding. All right. So, as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Hey, why do we do this? Well, because my church does it this way. Well, we've just always done it that way. Well, this is what I was taught. You weren't redeemed by those things. You weren't redeemed by corruptible things from those things. You know, these people had to be redeemed from their tradition. They had to be brought out from their tradition, which they trusted in, to be saved. But that's not what we were redeemed with. Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, that is truly, who absolutely, surely, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. What a difference, huh? Your faith and your hope is in God, not in the vain conversation, not in your tradition, not in your, this is the way we've always done it. But the hope is in God. Look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. If you're born again, say amen. Okay, he's talking to you, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Look again at verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. How many of you could probably quote that verse? If you had to quote it, you could probably quote that verse. Some of you, a lot of you, hopefully. Let's read it again. Let's read it together out loud. Verse 23. Ready? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let's go to Lord in prayer today.
Father, thank you for the word of God, for the incorruptible seed. Thank you for a preaching appointment today where you'd let me come out here to this wonderful church and share your word. Lord, thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Seeley and a chance and a trip of a lifetime that you provided for them. And God, thank you for it. Please help everything to go perfectly in order to your plan, that they would be renewed in spirit and in soul, and Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. And Lord, I pray you'd give them discount after discount and make the tours just right and everything just to fall in place. And Lord, bless these people that are standing in the gap here back at home. And Lord, fill me now, please, with your spirit and make this word come alive to each and every hearer. For the saved, Lord, that it would be an amen and a vote of confidence. And Lord, instruction on how to help others. Lord, for the unsaved, for those that are not born again, that, Lord, that this word would go forth in power and in truth and would be planted in that heart, and that, Lord, you would cause it to grow, and, Lord, that we would see people saved as a result. Father, help us now to redeem the time. We know the days are evil, and, Lord, bless now in this service and in the one to follow, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. Give me something that would be helpful, and I know you can do that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Being born again. I want to preach about being born again. A couple of things we note in what we just read. It's not of corruptible seed. It's not of corruptible seed. I think it's interesting that it goes from being born. If you think, I asked my wife this morning, I said, born again, what do you think about? Born and born again. What's the analogy there? Nicodemus understood it, and we might get a chance to look at that. Nicodemus understood the analogy. You know what an analogy is? You take something over here and say, that's kind of like this over here. Help you explain it. And the analogy here is being born again. And what did Nicodemus ask? What was his question? How can a man be born when he's old? Asked a really honest question, but kind of a weird question to think about. Can he enter again into his mother's womb? And mom is saying, no, you can't. No, you can't. What are you talking about, Jesus? Because the analogy is about a birth, right? You ever notice babies get born? A lot of babies get born around here. What a blessing. Got some babies around here. And they come out, and it's, and everybody knows this is a new baby. And Jesus is using that analogy of that baby to say, well, you've got to be born again. You've got to have another birth, right? It's got to be. But here, Peter says being born again, not of corruptible seed. Well, if we're talking about babies and we're talking about seed, now we know what we're talking about, don't we? A man and a woman coming together and creating that baby, the seed. Interesting, in Genesis 3:15, God says to the woman, and thy seed, the seed of the woman. That's not normally how you talk about it. But that seed came from God, amen. It's totally different, unusual. But what he's talking about here, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Watch the change in verse 24. Look at 24. For all flesh is as grass. Now he's changing the analogy. How many of you have flesh? You got, this is your flesh, right? Your body is your flesh. We can see your flesh. We can't see your spirit, thank God. And we can't see your soul. But we can see your flesh. And all of that is like what? Right? And the glory of man. What is the glory of man? I think that's the part we bring to church with us on Sunday when we put it. This isn't how I normally dress, all right? I like jeans and a t-shirt. But I come to church as the house of God, and so I put on a suit and I try to look like a preacher, look like I'm coming to meet God. Because you know what? If you went to see the queen back when she was alive, you'd have to dress up to see the queen. And God's the king. Amen. So we come in our glory, don't we? We come in the and we put out the best that we have. And the Bible says that's like the flower of grass. You've got grass, that's like your flesh. And the flower, that's like the glory of man. This is our good stuff. And what happens to the flower? It fades away. The glory falls away. It fades. And what does the grass do? It gets burned up with the sun and it's gone. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. So we need to be born again in the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God, it's that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Seed that cannot be destroyed. And oh, how they would love to destroy it, but they can't destroy it. They would love to destroy it, but it's incorruptible. Oh, don't get me wrong. They've written the ESV and the NIV and the RSV and the QST, whatever it is. It's kind of like the LGBTQ, whatever. People love their little alphabets, don't they?
But this book right here stands forever. This is a King James Bible. Amen. And it's perfect. It's incorruptible. Oh, they have tried, but they have been unsuccessful. And that's how you get born again, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God will keep his word eternally. This book is here forever. It's not going away. It's here to stay. And God will preserve his word. He will keep it for us. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the idea of keeping God's word is that it's the Lord who keeps it, not me. I don't have to keep it, but God does. Peter says we're born again by incorruptible seed. Jesus told us about a sower that went out to sow. Have you heard that story? The sower went out to sow. You know that one? And he told that story to his disciples, didn't he? And he said, and some fell on, I don't know, what kind of, help me real quick, what kind of different grounds did it fell on some, what kind of ground was there? What was it? There's thorny ground, right? Rocky ground, yeah. Some fell on the road, on the wayside, right? And then some, there was one, good ground, and then it grew. It came up and it grew. It was good. And it produced fruit, didn't it? And then the disciples came to him. Do you know the end of that story? The disciples came to Jesus and said, what do you mean? I mean, they didn't say it like that. That's what we would say for me. And they wanted to know, what is the story about? And he told them what it was about. And he said the field was what? The world. And he said, see? It's the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, even by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The sower went out to sow. It just threw it everywhere. I saw some tracks back there on your track table. And you know what you've got in there? You've got the word of God written in there. It's not the whole Bible, but one verse of this is the word of God. It's not complete. This one, this is complete. Start in Genesis, get to Revelation, it's complete. Finished. All the way. But you don't have to give someone a whole Bible for them to get saved. But you do have to give them the Word of God. Watch out for people who say they're saved and the Word of God was not involved. Guess what? They were not saved. No Word of God and no salvation. How do I know? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, even by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's how I know. So Jesus told about the sower in Mark 4 and in Luke 8. And what did he sow? He sowed the word of God. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, and that means to make alive. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words. That's why you don't mess with the words, because they're so important, because they're spirit in their life. And that's what produces salvation in the life of a believer, and into someone who's an unbeliever. It produces life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he said, I have planted and Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the increase. Remember that verse? And what's he talking about? It's all the same analogy. It's the same word picture, planting, sowing, and reaping. And we sing that song. You sing it here? I think you do. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. That's the part we like, right? Gathering together. Jesus talked about wheat and tares. And how do you know the difference? Don't worry about it. At harvest time, you'll know the difference. Sometimes people don't look like they're saved, and they are saved, but they don't look like it. See Lot for an example on that. Ananias and Sapphira were probably saved. They weren't very good Christians, but they were saved. Lot wasn't a very good believer, but he was a believer. In fact, the Bible tells us he was justified. So we have all this about sowing and reaping. Turn with me to John chapter 3, and this is where I'm hoping we can dig into this John chapter 3 and find something that'll help us today about being born again. And all of that is just really introductory to being born again. Are you born again? I want you to think about that. Are you born again? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know that? Let me tell you something that happened to me that got me thinking about this message, and it happened just last week. And here's what happened. I talked to someone who is convinced that he is born again, and I am all but certain, I can't be certain, but I am all but certain that he's not born again. But he believes that he is. And the more I talked to the man, the more convinced I was that he wasn't born again, but yet he believes he's born again. He's learned some things from the time he was young. He learned a bunch of things, and the Bible says precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So you that are 16 and younger, every message that comes across this pulpit, and every time you're reading in your Bible, you do read your Bible, don't you? You read the Bible. Yeah. Not just because you have to, because you're reading, right? And you're reading your Bible, and you're learning stuff. And what's happening is precept is on precept, and line is upon line, like you build a brick house, and you lay those bricks in line, and you lay them, and then you start building and building and building. And there are things going in your ears and things that you're learning that are very, very important. It might just be at the very bottom, it might just be this. Yes. Things. And here's what happens. If you get into a church or into a religion that puts in a bunch of garbage on the front row, people build and build and build on that, but the foundation is not sure, and it crumbles. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. Paul said, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thou. What I'm saying is this. From an early age, this man that I talked to was taught that his baptism was required in order to be saved. Can I tell you this, you that know more about the Bible? It takes more than an hour to undo that mess. You understand what I mean? Even if the man were to win an argument, he lost the war because it's about his soul. And unless you're born again, there's things about the Bible you just can't understand. And my wife and I were talking about some of these things, and this is what Miss Stacy said. She said, isn't it amazing? She said, it's troublesome how absolutely convinced this person is that he's right. Stop and think about that. How many of you are convinced you're right? You know what it means to be saved. It is faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's that moment you repented of your sin and you turned to Jesus. How many of you believe that? That's when you got saved. When you repented and you turned to Christ and you put your full faith in Christ. And it didn't have anything to do with faith in a baptism or in a church or in a person. It had to do with faith in Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. And you're convinced you're right. And baptism came later. After faith, as a seal of the decision that you made, as a way to point and say, I'm willing to be publicly identified with Jesus Christ and with his church. And you're convinced, aren't you? You're absolutely sure. But this man I talked to was absolutely convinced. He was absolutely sure. And you know what? I believe Eve was absolutely sure she was doing the right thing. You know why I think that? Because the Bible says the man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. So when you're deceived, what does that mean? That means you think this is a good deal. But it wasn't a good deal. Have you ever been deceived before? Have you ever bought something and later you found out I have been deceived? That hurts, doesn't it? Nicodemus didn't know. I talked to this man
who also didn't know, but he thought he knew and he understood. There was a man of the Pharisees, John chapter 3, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That same Nicodemus, that same man, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. Let me just point out that Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and we only know in our culture today, in Baptist church and in America, we only know Pharisee bad. But you have to understand that in that day, nobody thought, ooh, Pharisee, bad. You have to understand in that day, everybody said, Pharisee, good. The best of the best. In fact, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. And the immediate thought was, that's impossible. Because they are the best of the best. Do you understand what I mean? Like, they were the ones that were dressed right and looked right and did everything right. They did it all right. In fact, Jesus even said, do what they do. Do what they tell you to do, but don't do after their deeds. Do what they say, because what they say is right. What they do is something different. So when we hear Pharisee, I want you to think, outside looks perfect. Inside was another story, but outside looked perfect. And this man is a Pharisee. He is on the top level of being the best of the best. And he's a ruler of the Jews. Who are the Jews? The Jews are the people that God brought out over Egypt and across the Red Sea. And the water came and parted. And the Jews are the ones whose God opened up all this land and gave them. The Jews are the ones that had Solomon, that even the Queen of Sheba said, there's no breath left in me. The half has not been told. The temple of God stands there. The people of God. And Nicodemus is on top shelf of these people of God. You understand who the Pharisees are? And the Pharisee, this ruler of the Jews, he comes to Jesus and says, Rabbi, we, meaning me and my cohorts, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So these people were deceivers because they knew the truth. They knew what he was. They just didn't like it. Think about that. We know you're from God. It didn't stop them from crucifying him, right? They still crucified him. That's scary how wicked people can be. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, two times true, truly, truly, verily, verily, truth. This is the truth. Verily, verily. You want the truth? Here's the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There you go. Now there's your theology right there. Cut right to the chase. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Full stop. Born again. Now, how many of you like math? You like math. How many of you really don't like math? Yeah, I'm with you because I really don't like math. But I'm going to do some easy math with you today, all right? Easy. How many of you like easy math? Like, 2 plus 2 is 4. You good with that? All right, now we got some people like math. I like that kind of math. I can figure that out on a good day, right? Think with me, because God does want you to think and mull over the scripture. Think with me. Jesus is telling a man, Nicodemus, that he must be born again. How many of you think he had already been born? That's one. Right? Are you with me? It's easy math. And now Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again. How many is our count? Now, if you're born and then you're born again, how many are you counting? Two. Did he say born again and again? That's too many, right? I haven't lost anybody, have I? You're all with me? Born and born again. How many of you got two? Did anybody come up with three? There's only two, right? Only two. Every religion and every church that comes out with baptism as a water baptism as being part of salvation, they find three births in that chapter. Three. And I'll show you where they do it, and I'll show you how dumb you can be when you're not saved. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just saying when you're not saved, the devil can just, look over here, look over here, don't pay attention. And the devil can distract you so that you can't even figure out who. Born and born again. I'm telling you. You say, it can't be that simple. No, it's that simple. Born and born again, there are two. And every church, the Church of Christ, the Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ, the Mormon Church, the Pentecostals, on and on and on. The Lutheran Church,
the Methodist Church. I'm telling you, straight down the line, I know their doctrine better than most of them know their doctrine. And they all come up with three births out of this chapter. And there's only two. Born and born again. And we sing, "Ye must be born again." And they really ought to change the words of their song into saying, "You must be born again and again and again and again." There's only two. But you have to be born twice. You can't just be born once. You go into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born twice. You have to be saved. You have to be saved. Now, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of..." Now, how many did we have? Wait, let's stop. How many did we have? We had two, right? All right, watch this. "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Water, that's one. Spirit, that's two. He's staying with two. You understand? We're not going to get three. He didn't say born again and again. He said you have to be born again. You've been born once, you're going to be born again. When you're born again, you're going where? The kingdom of God. Right? And so he said, Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can a man be born when he's old? Well, you have to be born of what? Water and the Spirit. Here's what these churches do. And they teach people like this man that I talked to. They teach it from a young age. You have to be born of the water. That's baptism. And then you have to be born of the Spirit. And that's the Spirit of God coming in you. Now, if that's true, how many of you understand Nicodemus is already alive and he's already been born? So that would be born of mom and dad, born of mom. And then that would be born in baptism, that's two. And then born of the Spirit, that's three. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You see how bad it is when you get into, when you're so blinded by someone else's teaching and training, they come up with three, and Jesus didn't say you have to be born again and again and again. He said, no, you have to be born again. You've been born once, you've got to be born the second time, and it's done. I don't understand. He said, how can a man be born? Well, Nicodemus, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. We can only have two, so what is the water? It can't be baptism. So it's got to be that, what we call the embryonic sac that breaks when mom says, it's time. How many of you know what that sounds like when mom says, it's time? You know what that means? It's time. It means, let's go. Baby's coming now. Wait, wait, wait. Can we schedule that in a couple of weeks from now? No, it's coming now. Why? Because there's water on the floor. Because there's water everywhere. How many of you know that's a lot of water? You know what I'm talking about? That's a lot of water. And it is time, right? And what is that? That's born of the water. He's only coming up with two births. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. That spiritual birth, he'll explain a little bit more. But you come up with three in here and you know you're in a cult. You come up with three in here and you know that the devil's been tinkering with your doctrine, been messing with your head, trying to get you to say, because the devil knows that if he can add one little thing to salvation, he destroys it. He knows if he can add one thing that you did, well, I got baptized. And you know what this man told me? It blew me away. He said, baptism isn't a work because nobody baptizes themselves. Well, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. And boy, have I heard people boast about their baptism. And absolutely rely on their baptism, and that's what saved him. I'm trying to help you today to understand that you and I need to know what we believe based on the Word of God, and we got to be careful about salvation because there's a lot of people think they're going to heaven and they're not going to heaven because they're trusting the wrong thing. And Eve thought she was doing the right thing, but she was doing the wrong thing. How many of you women have a little issue with Eve? You know, we all got a little issue with Eve, right? And Adam, we say, what were you thinking? But she thought she was doing the right thing. And this man, he's absolutely thoroughly convinced he's doing the right thing. And some of you might be absolutely convinced that you know what you're doing and you don't know what you're doing. You need to pay attention to the Word of God. And you need to pray and ask God for wisdom. And you need to be willing to say, have thine own way. God, teach me what your Word says. Don't let anybody tinker with my head and put thoughts in my ideas and ideas in my head. But let me know what the Bible says. Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here we go. Verse 6, he's going to try it from a different angle and he's going to come up with two. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now Nicodemus had that one, didn't he? That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, we have born and born again. We have born of the water and born of the spirit. We have born of the flesh, water, flesh, water. We have born of the flesh. We have born of the Spirit. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. I don't care what you call it. There's two of them. It's simple, isn't it? See, it can't be that simple. Why are all these people doing it? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The word gospel. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. What happens if the light of the glorious gospel shines in unto them? They get saved. How many of you believe the gospel is what saves you? It's the gospel. Amen? This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Can you figure a preacher would say that? He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Are you saved by the gospel or not? And Paul says, Paul is telling them in that chapter, basically, I don't remember who I baptized. I baptized some of the people. I remember, I think I baptized these and these. That's what he's saying in that chapter. And he says, but hey, Christ didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. Do you understand that? There's a difference between baptism and the gospel. Do you understand that baptism, take it or leave it, as far as the gospel is concerned. Now, by the way, take it, amen, because it shows obedience. But take it or leave it as concerned to whether you're going to heaven or not. It has nothing to do with it. He said, Christ didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. Which tells us what? It has nothing to do with getting to heaven. And I wonder, you say, well, this is a Baptist church. We know that. Do you? Do you know that? I'm telling you, I have talked to more Baptists. Are you going to heaven when you die? I mean, more Baptists. And they'll say, well, I was baptized when I was... I'm not glad you were baptized, you understand? But I want to know if you got the gospel or not. I want to know if you're going to heaven or not. Are you saved? Are you born again? And a lot of these people are running around with three births, and if you add one little thing to salvation, one little thing, you destroy the whole thing of it, and you make it of none effect. I've planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Look at what he says in verse number 7. Marvel not. Don't let your brain get away from me here. Listen, let's keep it simple. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He's going to take a different tack in verse number 8. The wind bloweth whither where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Did anybody ever learn that poem? I don't know if I remember it now. When I was a kid, we had to memorize this poem. Who hath seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. Who hath seen the wind? Neither I nor you. And then I forget the rest of it. Look it up. It's a good poem. Google it. I don't know. You get the idea? Have you ever looked outside and said it's windy? How'd you know? Because you saw stuff moving, didn't you? Did you see the wind? You'd say, oh, I can see it's windy out there. Yeah, you can see it. Did you see the wind? No, you didn't. No, so he's talking about the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Hey, they heard a sound on the day of Pentecost, didn't they? In fact, they heard the sound of wind, the Spirit of God moving. They heard the sound, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. You can't tell, you don't know because you can't see it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Water, Spirit, call it what you will. It's that the water is the fleshly birth. Spirit, flesh, water, Spirit. You've got to have both. Now, if you're born of the Spirit, you can't see that. I know the answer, at least partially, to this question, but I want to get you involved in this to ask. How many of you have been there and seen a baby born? How many of you have ever seen that? I've seen it 7 times. Seen it. How many of you then have seen someone get baptized? You've watched them get baptized. Okay? Well, if you've seen it, if you've seen it with your eyes, guess what that wasn't? It wasn't a rebirth. It wasn't born again. If you saw it with your eyes, that's not what it was. You follow me? But how many of you think about it? How many of you have actually seen someone get saved? And you say, I saw it. I mean, I saw him get saved. But you really didn't, but you did. You know what I mean? I knew it was windy outside. Why? Because you saw stuff move. Right? And you saw someone get saved. And you said, I saw it. What did you see? You don't know what you saw. God working and moving. But you couldn't see what happened. Because God was doing it. If you saw it, that wasn't it. If you saw, and you saw the baptism, that's not it. You see how simple this is? There's only two births. Born and born again. There's no third one there. Look at this. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Kids,
this is ground level stuff right here. And there are masters in that story. Don't understand this. To start out our conversation, the man asked me about my educational background, which, by the way, is not real impressive. And you know why? I've wondered about that and I thought about it. You know why? Because that says so much to so many people. It really does. Like, tell me how many degrees you have and tell me where. And it meant, because this is, they want to do this up here. And what we need is something to happen in here. And I wonder at Beaver Falls Baptist Church, how many people have been in this thing a long time? And they know up here how to make it all work, but in here there's something not working, and you're wondering what. Hey, have rebels ever come out of Beaver Falls Baptist Church? Have they? Because something is, it's all up in here, but it's not in here. And I'm telling you better get it in here. It better be real. You've got to know him. You've got to know him. You have to know him. I'm glad Mom and Dad know him, but do you know him? Nicodemus had it all up here, and his little mind was blown. And Jesus says, aren't thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Hey, this is ground level stuff. Precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Look at verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The problem is you're not believing. It's not that you don't understand. It's that you won't believe. The problem with the evolutionist isn't that he doesn't understand. It's not that he's just so smart and he's like, this I know knowledge-wise, this can't be so. That's not the problem. The problem is he is a rebel in his heart and he has rejected his creator. And he will. It is a heart problem. This man talked to me about the King James Bible and why I was a King James Bible believer. And I said, here's what I've found out. It has nothing to do with the intellect and it has everything to do with the heart. The reason you don't believe the King James Bible is the perfect word of God is because you have a wicked heart. You don't care how many versions of the Bible is out there as long as there's not one that says, thus saith the Lord. End of discussion. See, they want to pull out their phones and they want to search the Greek and the Hebrew and they want to search this concordance and that concordance and they want to say, well, and they want to go to 25 different commentaries and they, well, you know, we can just disagree and it's okay. That's what they want. Why? It's not up here. It's in here. What you and I need to be is we need to go to God and say, God, fix me and straighten me out. Let's go to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him and gets baptized and endures till the end should not perish. Wait a minute. Wait. How many, were you reading with me? That ain't what it said. How many of you quote it and know it and then you have it in your heart and you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Church, this is kid stuff. Amen. Jesus loves little children. Jesus loves me. This I know. This is kid stuff. And the masters in Astoria, and the masters in Klatskanai, and the masters in Oregon, the religious experts, and man, do they have some fantastic credentials.
That's kid stuff. Believe and be saved. How about it, Christian? When did you believe? When did you get saved? Would you stand together with me as we pray? Father, please take this message. I hope that it will be an encouragement to people that are born again. And Lord, I ask you that this word, which is incorruptible, which was given today freely, that this word would go into the hearts of those that are unsaved. And Lord, maybe all I did was plant today, but maybe I watered, I don't know. Lord, maybe today we would see harvest and fruit and someone gets saved. But I pray that you'd work in hearts. And Lord, keep this church faithful and true. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.